Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 12. 1 Samuel, chapter 12. We'll read verses 16 through 21 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Samuel, chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. First Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that the wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for our country, a free country. Those that have paid the ultimate price, and yet their price was not as great as the price you paid. We as sinners laying our lives down for our freedom is one thing, but God, you laid your life down for eternity. Thank you for that. Thank you for our church and our preacher. Now fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, change our hearts, our lives, and may we go out and influence as many people around this globe as we can, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The kind of Christianity about which I will speak this morning is has become almost extinct. It's unheard of in this day and age. Of course, today is the 4th of July. America used to believe in serving God and putting our hearts into it. We pledge with our hand upon our hearts to our God and to our country. Now, we allow God to be around some, but he's no longer served and loved with all our hearts. You know, if you give yourself totally to God anymore, people think you're a fanatic. That ought not be the case. That's not what it was like for our forefathers who came to this country that they might have religious freedom. They came here so that they would not seem as if fanatics, and over 200 years later, we're back to where we were persecuted when we left a foreign country to come here. If you'll stay with me this morning, I want to talk to you about a level of Christianity that we all ought to desire. I want to tell you why many churches don't grow. Today I'll tell you today why some Sunday school classes do not grow. I can tell you why many Christians don't grow. I think tucked in here you'll even see why certain businesses do not grow. I'll tell you why bus routes don't grow. Today I'll tell you why ministries don't grow. The problem lies in these words found in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 20. It said this, it says, And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord, these are the words, with all your heart. With all your heart. The same words are used in verse number 24. It says, How great things he hath done for you, but it says, Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Twice in this passage of Scripture, we see the Lord mentions the necessity of doing what you do with all your heart. And the last part of that verse there says, tells us why. You say, preacher, why should we do what we do with all our heart? Why should we serve God with all our heart? It says there in verse 24, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Now let me explain. God did what he did for you and I with all his heart. I'll tell you, that when God sent his son to this sin-cursed world to die for me and you, God put forth his best. God gave you all his heart. So we say, so why should I serve God with all my heart? Because what God has done for you with all his heart. You see these words found here in 1 Samuel 12, verse 20, and again in verse number 24, these words were both, they were penned by Samuel, but while under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Twice in this one chapter, Samuel, in this passage, promises God's people that God wants to do, it said there, a great thing before their eyes. Samuel promises to pray. And as he prays to God, he's going to ask God to send thunder and rain on a very day. Samuel says, you're going to see God do something great. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to give us this day thunder and rain. Samuel prayed the prayer. The rain and the thunder came. Samuel then turns to the people and he says, now you get right with God and you serve him. But wait, he didn't just say, now you serve him. He wanted him to understand, it's about time for you to take it up a notch and stop just showing up and stop just being around the things of God. He said, I want you to serve him with all your heart. Folks, the people that survive in Christianity are not just the people that serve God. They are the people that serve God with all their heart. When times get tough, the people just merely serve God. You'll watch some of them fall on the wayside. But when those that have decided, I'm going to serve God with all my heart, those are your survivors. Those are your survivors. Samuel turns to the people and he says, look what God's done. The rain has come. The thunder's come. Now, let it be a lesson to you. And now go serve God. Not just serve God, but with all your heart. Why? Well, because of all the great things God's done for us. You know, today you can't find people who give all their heart to much of anything. They say you send someone to work and they're supposed to work 8 hours. You're lucky if you can get 4 hours of work out of them. You know what? If you're a hard worker, you get up early, stay up late, and you work hard. They say you're sick. They call you a workaholic. I'll tell you what. Everybody was drunk on work when I was growing up then. Where I grew up, a man worked, and if he didn't, he wasn't considered a man. Those of you that control your own schedules, some of you better learn how to work hard. Whatever it be, I think of the church staff. They get to control their own schedules to a degree. I look out and see some of our missionaries here. I see preachers. Some people just flat out lazy. Think if they put a little in, they've done their part. You're to give all your heart to what you do. That today you can hardly find it. You can't. When was the last time? One of the things. When was the last time you seen a student at school that gave their whole heart to their schoolwork?
Right.
Boys, when you're out here on this ball field playing, you play with all your heart. The issue is not the ball. The issue is what's inside of you. It seems like to find people in this day and age that give all their heart to anything, it's almost unheard of. And when you find somebody that gives all their heart, everybody else looks at them and says, they're weird. That's odd. No, you're the weird one. You're the odd one. God said give all your heart. Give all your heart. The hardest working people in this four-state area ought to be the people that attend the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We ought to have the best reputation in every company in this county. They ought to be able to say, I'll tell you what, those people out there, they give their heart. People ought to come watch our boys play ball and know whether they're winning or losing. They're giving every ounce of them while they're on that ball field.
It ought to be that what we do with our God in mind. And God said, the way I expect is you give me all your heart.
It's the key. The character of this generation, about half-hearted about everything. About everything. Mrs. Owens, I just want you to know today, I love you with half of my heart. You say, couple of my kids down here, Jeff and Savannah. Guys, I want you to know I love you with a third of my heart. Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, I want you to know that your pastor loves you with about 3/5 of his heart. You say, that's not right. I know it's not right. We're disgusted even at a glance at thinking like that. But let me ask you something. To what do you give all your heart? I thank God we heard a soloist a moment ago sing a song. I think he gave his heart to that thing. I think he threw himself into that thing. I don't think he was playing around. I think he thought that was the biggest thing happening anywhere on the face of the earth while he stood here. And that's why you enjoyed it so much. With all thine heart. With all thine heart. We're so half-hearted. We're so anemic in our drive and our determination for God. No, folks, it's just a concept of life. You get no more out of it than what you put into it.
Yes.
Some of us can thank God that the last generation put what they put into it. God knows if we face what we face in World War I or World War II with this generation, we'd be in trouble. There were people that believed in this country with all their heart. They proved it by giving their life. They proved it by giving everything that they had. What's happened to the kinds of people that believed in something and were determined and they gave all their heart to it? In the Bible, I notice there are times when God actually has told us there's something about all the heart where we need to apply ourselves. Let me show you those. Number one, you ought to trust God with all your heart. Trust Him with all your heart. Listen to this verse. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, it says, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The story is, this happens at that famous story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip meets a lost man in a chariot, and the lost man is reading the Bible, reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip goes to the man, and they begin to have a conversation. Philip is witnessing to the man. The man's been reading the Bible, and they see some water, and this lost Ethiopian eunuch says, "Hey, Philip, what does hinder me to be baptized? I want to get baptized." And Philip said, "Well, before you get baptized, you need to get born again." And then Philip said to him, "If you believe with all your heart, with all your heart." Now we see here that we are to put our total faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Let me clarify, you can't save yourself. You put your total trust in Him. It's not 99% Jesus and 1% you. When you get saved, it's 100% Jesus. 100% Jesus. That's how you get saved. He said, with all thine heart. That means you put all your confidence in Him, not in you. But wait then, Christian. We go on. That same faith that we applied or used at the time of salvation, we are then to live by that same faith. I asked Him to save me, and I put 100% trust in Him for salvation. He said, now, what you do is you live your life with that same kind of faith or trust. If you could trust Him for your eternity, surely we can trust Him with all else. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. See, folks, we need to learn to trust our God with all our hearts.
Trust him with all your heart. Trust him with all your heart when your heart's broken. He knows what's best for you. He'll be there for you. You trust him with all your heart when life's conflicts seem to have you a bit outnumbered. You say, what do I do? Trust him with all your heart. God said, trust me with all your heart. Trust him with all your heart when the money's low. Trust him with all your heart when the enemy attacks you. Trust him with all your heart when you're job hunting. Trust him with all your heart when you tithe. Trust him with all your heart when sickness enters your life. Folks, look, if we can trust him with our eternity, we can trust him with our Monday, and we can trust him with our Tuesday, and we can trust him with our Wednesday, but not merely trust him with all your heart. Are you half-hearted in your trust in him? You know, if we trusted him with all our hearts, there'd be less suffering from anxiety. There'd be less suffering from those fears, those devil-created intimidations. If we trusted him with all our hearts, those insecurities that seem to eat at you, they would flee away. If we trusted him with all our hearts, those sleepless nights could be done away with. That paranoia could be done away with. If you trust him with all your heart, hey, some of the times when you bite your fingernails all the way down to the skin and you're all shook up, trust him with all your heart. All your heart. All your heart. All your heart. It wasn't merely a trust. It said, trust me with all your heart. Good. See, if you're trusting him for his care after death, then trust him for his care before death. Trust him. Trust him. How much? With all your heart. Not only do I see that God told us to trust him with all our heart, he said, I want you to serve me. How? With all your heart. Serve him. How? With all your heart. Joshua 22:5 says, but take diligent heed to the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and serve him with all your heart. There again I see it. Those words, all your heart. First of all, he said you need to trust me with all your heart. Then he said you need to serve me with all your heart. This story here in the Bible is about Joshua. Moses had died. Joshua had assumed command. Joshua had fought and won the Battle of Jericho. They had gone through the incident in Ai where there was sin in the camp. Joshua then calls his people together and he says, now we've fought some battles. You've been given. And what took place is they were given some land. They'd gone through some tough times. They'd been given some land that would be theirs. And he said, but whatever you do, don't stop serving God. Now serve God with all your heart. Do it with all your heart. Let me ask you something. Do you serve God with all your heart? When I was growing up, my daddy told me, said, son, you go to work, the boss is going to give you some work to do. If you're a good man, you'll get that work done and you'll need more. He said, the boss isn't around to give you more, you go find more. You don't stand there twiddling your thumbs just hoping the boss will come around and give you something to do. What was my dad doing? He was teaching me how to work with all my heart.
Right, sir.
Let me ask you about your Christianity. You say, well, I had something God gave me to do, and there wasn't anybody around to give me something more to do, and so I've just been standing around ever since. We serve God with all our hearts. You say, well, what do I do? Folks, not everybody in here, you're spiritually educated enough. You don't need anybody to tell you what to do. Just go do it. Hey, look, we're never going to run out of work when it comes to the souls of men. You're never going to run out of work when it comes to reading your Bible and when it comes to praying. And you just say, you know what? Well, no, somebody didn't assign me this and assign me that. We just walk around as if, well, you know, nobody's asked me to do anything. God's asked you to do something. All thine heart. Do you serve him with all your heart? Some of you used to. Listen, have you fought a few battles along the way and it's kicked the spirit out of you and now God only gets half your heart? And I'm not asking if you have ever served him. I'm asking, do you serve him with all thine heart? Do you sow land with all thine heart? Do you run your bus with all thine heart? Do you clean that restroom with all thine heart? Do you mow your area with all thine heart? Do you usher with all thine heart? Are you a greeter with all thine heart? Do you sing in the choir with all thine heart? Do you serve in the nursery with all thine heart? Do you take care of maintenance with all thine heart? Look, God is as great today as he was back when you were excited about him. He still deserves ultimate service. He deserves all of us. All of us. All of us. Serve God with all thine heart.
Yes.
Half-hearted service is not enough. You say, I'm tired. Serve tired.
Yes.
Don't you think Jesus was tired when he was on his way to Calvary? We have no idea the stress. We have no idea the pressure. We have no idea how all of hell was opposing him. But he said, I will not be shocked. I will do what I do, and I'll give my entire self to save the human race. Folks, it does not matter what you face. It does not matter how tired you are. It doesn't matter how much of an uphill climb it is. Give God all your heart. All your heart. All your heart. God deserves our best. When was the last time you sweat for God? When was the last time you were wore out for God? It'd be a sad thing to think that the last time you were wore out, it was playing with a ball. But you've never done anything to God that wore you out. I would guess that a ball must be more important to you than God then. I'm not talking about when was the last time you were served. I'm talking about when was the last time you served someone. I like this. An elderly patient needed a heart transplant and discussed his options with his doctor. The doctor said, we have three possible donors. Tell me which one you want to use. One is a young, healthy athlete who died in an automobile accident. The second is a middle-aged businessman who never drank or smoked and who died in his own private plane. The third is a lawyer, an attorney, who just died after practicing law for 30 years. I'll take the lawyer's heart, said the patient. After a successful transplant, the doctor asked the patient why he had chosen the donor of the lawyer. It was easy, said the patient. I wanted a heart that had not been used much. God came and said, do what you do for me with all your heart. You say, why? Because what he did for you, he did with all his heart. He set the prime example. And you and I need to trust him, not a little, but big. We need to trust him with all our hearts. We need to serve him with all our hearts. I see the Bible then teaches us that we are to follow him with all our hearts. 1 Kings 14:8 it says, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee. And yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes. This is a story of Jeroboam. Jeroboam had become king. Jeroboam's son had become sick. Jeroboam told his wife, said, I want you to put on a disguise. I'm going to have you go and talk to the man of God, and I want you to ask the man of God if our son is going to recover from his illness. I want you to take him some food. I want you to take him some gifts. He's not going to know who you are. You're going to be disguised. But I need you to go talk to him. Because Jeroboam, he couldn't go talk to him. He was backslidden and couldn't face the man of God. That's how everybody gets when they're backslidden. They can't face the man of God. Man of God's not out to hurt you. He'll help you. Don't run from him. Run to him. But here he is. He said, my son is sick. I'll send my wife down to the man of God. We'll take some gifts, and I know the man of God knows what's going on, and I'm going to go inquire of him, have my wife inquire of him whether my son's going to regain his health. The man of God, seen her coming, God spoke to his heart and said, it's Jeroboam's wife. She walked up, he said, Mrs. Jeroboam, how you doing? She went, oh, brother, wrong makeup. He said, you go home. And you tell your husband his reign is over because he didn't follow the Lord with all his heart, as did David. All his heart. Do you follow the Lord with all your heart? Do you trust him with all your heart? Do you serve him with all your heart? Do you follow him with all your heart? I didn't ask if you follow him. I ask if you follow him with all your heart. There are some of you that you're newer Christians in the church. You know what you need to dedicate yourself to? Following him with all your heart. All your heart. You remember back when following him was much a greater issue to you? You remember back when you'd hang on every word because you wanted to follow him so carefully and closely? But now you're much like Peter. You're following him afar off. Do you spend your life warming yourself by the devil's fire, following Jesus afar off? He said, follow me. Hey, how closely? With all your heart. Remember when you hung on every word that was preached looking for guidance? Do you remember back when you read your Bible and you wanted to follow its every request? Remember when the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and you immediately listened and obeyed and were thrilled that he had spoken to you? We should follow his leading with all our hearts. We have a four-wheeler out at our house. We originally got it for our kids. They grew up, left the house, Mrs. Owens and I. We'd take a ride about every Saturday. We'll get on the four-wheeler and we'll ride up through our subdivision. We put on our leather coats. We've cleared about an acre of our land, which was really stupid of me. Did it back when kids were home so they could mow. Now I got to mow it myself. We're going to get a goat, though. So if you're an old goat, we'll have a sign-up sheet on the back table right back here for after the service. I was using a wheelbarrow for everything. Carton, junk, and stones and dirt everywhere. And a couple of years ago for my birthday, she bought me a cart that hooks up. It's a two-wheel cart that hooks up to the back of my four-wheeler. Oh, that thing is great. You know what I've noticed about that cart? Hooks up right to the back of my four-wheeler. Once we get it hooked and pinned, everywhere I take it, it goes. And I've taken it a few places. I wondered if it was going to be able to hang in there. If I go uphill, it's right behind me. If I turn right, it turns right with me. If I turn left, it turns left with me. There I am. I'm on that four-wheeler. I look back, and that red wagon that's hooked up to the back of that four-wheeler, it goes everywhere I go. When I'm going downhill, it's with me. When it's raining, it's with me. When it's snowing, it's with me. If I go back into the wooded area, it goes with me. Do you know what you and I are to do? We're to hook on to Jesus Christ, and we're to follow just like that. Jesus looked back. You ought to be pinned in. You ought to be locked on. Wherever he takes you, that's where you go. When he says, we're turning right, you turn right. When he says, we're turning left, you turn left. When he says, all ahead full, it's all ahead full. If it's raining or snowing, no, it doesn't matter if it's uphill or downhill, we are to follow just like that. That's how we're to follow. That means you're to walk with God daily. Means you get up in the morning and say, Lord, what do you want me to wear today? How do you want me to act today? Which way do you want me to turn today? When do you want me to shut my mouth? When should I talk? When should I not talk? When should I witness? What should I do? We should let him lead us, and we should follow with all our hearts. With all our hearts. Because he said, the way to serve me is with all your heart. Trust me with all your heart. Serve me with all your heart. Follow me with all your heart. Fred got home from his Sunday. He just played a round of golf. And a little later than normal, he was very tired. Bad day at the course, his wife asked. Everything was going fine, he said. Then Harry had a heart attack and died on the 10th tee. Oh, that's awful, his wife said. You're not kidding, he said. For the whole back nine, it was hit the ball, drag Harry, hit the ball, drag Harry. Now there's a guy playing golf with all his heart. Don't let anything stop you. Oh, I've got to tell you this story. It's true. I don't golf very often. Maybe once a year if I get a chance, but some years ago we were golfing. Watch this fella. He was so angry. I watched him climb off of his golf cart, take his golf clubs. There's a great big pond. He took those golf clubs, and with all his might, he threw the clubs, bag and all, right out in the middle of that pond, got in his golf cart, and drove off. I thought, well, he's probably done for the day. A little while later, here he came. We were coming back up the other way on the other side of the pond. Here he come, parked his golf cart. I thought, well, he came to his senses. He climbed out in the middle of that pond, picked up his golf clubs. I thought, yeah, he's going to take his clubs home. He unzipped the bag, pulled out his car keys, threw his golf clubs back in the lake, and drove off. Some of you know what I mean. God said, what you do for me, do it with all your heart. He said, I want you to trust me. How, Lord? With all thine heart. He said, I want you to serve me. How, Lord? With all thine heart. I want you to follow me. How, Lord? With all thine heart. I'm telling you, folks, right here, this is the key to success. This is the key to ultimate success. It's where we give all our heart. All our heart. There are so many of us that we've not even come close to fulfilling our potential. I'll tell you why. We don't do what we do with all our hearts. We don't do it with all our hearts. Hey, there are some of you boys, if you would, with all your heart, swing that baseball bat at practice, and with all your heart, run those bases, you'll double your ability on the baseball field, but you're so lethargic. You don't give all yourself. Hey, let's give all our hearts. There are Sunday school teachers in here. You've not even touched the hem of the garment of your potential. I'll tell you why. You don't do what you do with all your heart. I would like God to be able to look down and say that Jeff Owens is trying pretty hard to give all his heart to everything that he does. That's how it ought to be. You see, these are tough economic times. You get out there and you dig and you work hard and you work hard with whatever job and you work hard. Hey, I could find a job tomorrow if I wanted a job. You say, why? I'd get up early. I'd work at it all day long. I wouldn't let anything stop me. I'd go out there and look for a job with all my heart. I can get on your nerves with things like that. People bring something to me and say, I can't quite figure out how to get this done. I'll say, well, give it to me. I'll get it done. So you're cocky. You call it what you will, but I learned a long time ago, when I give myself to something, I'm going to give my all. It's not worth doing right. It's not worth doing at all. Give all our hearts. Give all our hearts to serving God. We are to follow Him with all our hearts. We're to trust Him with all of our hearts. We're to serve Him with all of our hearts. Not only that, I think we're to follow His Word. The Word of God. How? With all our hearts. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 and 6, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day. Huh. There it is. And these words. God's people had wandered in the wilderness. God comes along in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Through chapter 6, and he rehearses the story of their wilderness wanderings, and God said, it's time for you to stop wandering around aimlessly in regard to your spirituality. It's time for you to lock in to my word. It's time for you to get settled. It's time for you to decide that the word of God will guide you and to get serious about it. Hey, do you read your Bible to read it, or do you read it to obey it? Do you follow His Word with all your heart? Good. Notice the question is not do you follow His Word, do you follow His Word with all your heart? With all your heart. What part of God's Word have you chosen to ignore? What part of it, if you had to face God today, you'd have to say, God, I love you with half my heart. Because there's half of this book I'm not interested in living. That's not putting your faith in His Word with all your heart. Trust His Word with all your heart. Live your life based on His Word with all your heart. What part of the Bible do you reject? What part of the Bible do you resist? What part of the Bible do you limit in your heart? What part do you push out of mind? Because you're not giving God that part of your heart with all your heart. So you know, if you're going to serve, if you're going to love the God of this book and you're going to live your life according to this book, it's going to take some energy, it's going to take some effort. Be honest, it's going to take some mental concentration. You have any idea? We can make a commitment to God and say, oh God, I want to walk in your presence. I want to be with you all day long. And get up in the morning and say, God, I'm not going to take my mind off of you. My mind will be stayed upon thee. 2 hours into the morning, you've totally forgotten about him. 2 hours into the morning, you've totally forgotten that he's there. You've totally forgotten that you're going to walk with him. You've totally forgotten that he ought to be helping you to make every decision all day long. I'll tell you, if you're going to walk with God, if you're going to follow this book with all your heart, some of you are going to have to learn to concentrate, lock in on God, and don't take your eyes off of him. I think there are a lot of good people that they don't come near as close to what they could be as God wants them to be and what they could be. I'll tell you why. We don't concentrate on God. We don't think on God. We don't lock in on God. If you're gonna be the kind of Christian you need to be, some of you have to concentrate on the fact that God expects you to be looking his way all day long every day. Are you following like the caboose does? The train down the railroad tracks. The Word of God ought to be the tracks. You and I ought to be on the same track with God. Don't you expect God to get off of his tracks and get on yours. He's the engine and you're the caboose. And we're to lock in and we're to stay on the rail all the way. All the way. Is the Bible just another book in your life, or is it the book in your life? Do you read anything more than you read the Bible? Do you read anything more than you read the Bible? If you do, then you're not sure. You're not loving the book with all your heart. There's something else you must love more than the Bible. Are you half-hearted about your Bible reading? Are you half-hearted about your stand for the Bible? Do you search its pages like a treasure map that's going to lead you to the riches of life? See, what you do with the Bible will determine what God will do with you. Hey, the place where you work. Would the people at your place of employment say he or she seems to want to obey the Bible with all their heart? That ought to be our testimony. That ought to be what people think of us. Say, they'll think I'm weird. They thought Jesus was weird. All our heart. All our heart. All of it. A preacher was asked to inform a man with a heart condition that he would be soon inheriting $1 million. Everybody was afraid that the shock would give this man a heart attack. So the preacher went to the man's house and said, Joe, what would you do if I told you you were going to inherit $1 million? And Joe said, well, Pastor, you know, I've got a weak heart, but I think if I inherit $1 million, I'd give half of it to the church. And the pastor died from a heart attack. We refer to the heart so often in life. I don't always understand the exact definition scripturally in regard to the heart. It is the seat of the emotion. It has something to do with our determination. It has something to do with our drive. But it is rare that you find people in general that give all their heart to something. Long time ago, I was examining life, and as I looked at life, I would look out into the world. I was a young Christian, and I'd look into the world, and I would watch people that were giving all their heart to things that would not count. I would watch people that would give all their heart to things that they did for the devil. You look at a man like a Hugh Hefner and all of his filth and all of his pornography. I'll tell you this, he must have given all of his heart to something because he has influenced the world. You look at the Anheuser-Busch Company, somebody gave all their heart to a bunch of liquor and filth. It is a sad thing that you can go into the world and you can watch people that are serving the devil, doing things that destroy and hurt, and they'll throw their entire energy into it, and the average Christian doesn't want to do anything for God, and if they do, they're not willing to do it with all their heart. Let me ask you, do you want Hugh Hefner to use more of his heart to serve the devil than you use of your heart to serve God? You want Anheuser-Busch and that family? Do you want them to go down in history having given more of their heart to liquor than we will give to our God? All thine heart. All thine heart. Finally, the Bible teaches that God would like us to love him with all
our hearts. Matthew 22, verse number 37, it says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. See, a Pharisee had come to Jesus and had publicly challenged him. The Pharisee had come attempting to hurt Jesus, and the Pharisee asked the question, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answers, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Do you love Jesus? Now, if I stopped right there, we'd be okay. Because everybody in here would say, oh, yes. Yes, I do. I love him. But wait, I'm not done with the question. Do you love Jesus with all your heart? Do you love him on Monday? Not just Sunday. And on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and on Friday, and on Saturday. Do you love him in the morning, and in the afternoon, and the evening? Do you love him at the church as well as away from the church? Do you love him when you're healthy? Love him when you're sick? Do you love him when you're rich and love him when you're poor? Do you love him when you're victorious and love him when you're defeated? Is your love for him like his love for you? Say, why should I love him with all my heart? Because he loved you with all his heart. He is the one that deserves that kind of love. We do not. We are fallen creatures. Sinful creatures. He is the high and holy one. So I didn't ask you if you love him. Do you love him with all your heart? Do you love him as much as you love money? Do you love him as much as you love your vice? What is that that you give? Wait, what is it that you give more of yourself to? What has more control over you? Him or your vice? Good. Do you love him more than you love your own sin? Say, oh, I do. And people can get really mushy over this one. Oh, I do, I do, I do, I do, I do. I love him, I love him, I love him, I love him. All right. The Bible says in John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You're saying, I love Jesus means very little. I think you ought to say it. But you know, I could say to this little lady down here called my wife of almost 30 years, I love you, but if I did not do the things that are good for her and that she needs, if I did not meet her needs, if I were not watching what she needed of me, and then I walked around telling everybody, I love my wife, I love my wife, I love my wife, I love my wife, you'd say, you're a hypocrite. Let me tell you something, my friend, for you to tell me that you love God but not do what he told you to do, you may have a problem. Your lovey-dovey Jesus kind of love that all you do is talk, put your money where your mouth is, put your life where your mouth is. There's all sorts of people out there that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They say, I love him, I love him, I love him, I love him. Your checkbook will tell us whether you love him. Your showing up for soul winning will tell us whether you love him. Your doing your duty for him will tell us whether you love him. Talk is cheap. It's cheap. Anybody can say they love anything or anybody. Put your money where your mouth is. Put your life, put your energy, put your hands where your mouth is. You see, you just saying that you love him and never doing anything for him, something doesn't stack up there. Right. Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words. Do you love your job more than you love him? See, love is a verb. It's action. Oh, how I love Jesus. The song sung most is probably a lie in all of Christianity. Because you prove your love not by singing that song. You prove your love by what you do for the Savior to whom you're to be singing.
Yes, sir.
To whatever degree you're serving him, you're proving a love for him. Love. So if I said, do you love Jesus? Most people, oh yes. Do you love him with all your heart? Because that's the issue of the sermon today. Serve the Lord with all thine heart. Trust him with all thine heart. Acts 8:37. Serve him
with all thine heart, Joshua 22:5. Follow him with all thine heart, 1 Kings 14:8. Follow his word with all thine heart, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 and 6. Love him with all thine heart, Matthew 22:37. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would recommend that you trust him with all your heart and get saved. You cannot save yourself. We go back to the opening story about the Ethiopian eunuch. He was a decent man. He was reading the scripture. He wanted to do right. He said, you want me to get baptized? I'll get baptized. What do you want me to do? You want me to join the church? And Philip had to say to him, hey, getting baptized is fine, joining the church is fine, but there's only one thing. You need to trust Jesus Christ. You need to get born again, and then those other things you ought to do. But right now, the primary thing for you is trusting Christ as Savior. See, we are saved by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, trust your entire eternity to him. Don't trust it to you. Don't trust it to me. Don't trust it to this church. Don't trust it to your works. Trust it to Jesus. You put your total confidence in Jesus Christ as Savior. Let him save you and you can go to heaven someday when you die. Now, if you say, well, I think I'll trust Jesus 99%. You heard me say it before. You're not to trust him 99%. You give your entire eternity over to him. He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. He paid your sin debt for you. You turn to him and say, I'll take that and hold. That's what I want right there. I'll depend on that and that only to get me to heaven, and God will save you. But you have to, with your whole heart, say, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But how much of your heart was he watching for? He was looking for you to trust him 100%. Him and him only for salvation. If you're here and you've never been saved, I wish you'd get saved. Hey, if you're here and you've never been baptized, you know what you need to do? The Bible teaches you to get baptized after you get saved. Why don't you trust him, trust his word with all your heart, walk down the aisle and get baptized? Somebody else here, you've gotten away from God. You're backslidden. You need to get down here on your face and trust his forgiveness with all your heart. Come down here and say, Father, I'm sorry. I've sinned. Ask him to forgive you. Trust him. He'll forgive you. You go back out and you live right. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. With all thine heart, he said, with all thine heart. Oh, Christian, serve him with all your heart. Serve him with all your heart. Who here would say, preacher, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. I need to be born again. Pray for me. I need to be saved, and I know it. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to be saved. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. God bless you. God bless you. I see another and another hand. You say, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Folks, you ought to thank God. He didn't ask you to trust in yourself, him some and you some. No, he asked you to trust in him. He'll do the saving. He makes getting saved easy. You say, I'm not saved today. Trust him. Who else? I've seen these hands. You'd raise your hand.